Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. You're here with Leora Mandel. I'll be joined with Rabbi David Aaron after the break. Part of being human is having and experiencing a range of emotions. Now, a range of emotions, positive and negative. There's times where we can feel a positive emotion in a small amount or in a really large amount. I guess we can give it a range of there's living life from 1 to 10. Now, obviously, we all enjoy experiencing the positive emotions, and we'd rather have more of those. Now, you can't always live life at a 10, even with positive emotions. Otherwise, there's no room for extra special events, extra special occasions in life where you really want to be on a high. And I think it's important for people to really recognize that it's not realistic to, even in a positive side of things, expect to live life at a 10 always. You have to, well, I guess ideally, it would be nice to live somewhere between a 7 and an 8. We don't necessarily want to dip too low between the 5s when we start going into the negative emotions. But part of life is having negative emotions too. Life is never always wonderful and easygoing. In fact, I think there's a fair bit of life that can be difficult and challenging at times. And there's unexpected things that happen, things that surprise us, challenging events in our life, situations that we go through. There's trauma, tragedy, sadness. That can all bring us into the negative side of emotions, which I don't think we particularly enjoy experiencing, but they are part of the gamut of the range of emotions that we experience as part of being human beings, living in this world, engaging in life, engaging in relationships, taking risks, and that's just part of life. We have positive and negative emotions. As much as though we'd like to always sort of be in the middle, more or less feeling relatively balanced with our emotional state, if anything, leaning more towards the positive side on a general basis, not so much towards the negatives. There are times in life and sometimes long time periods in life where we experience strong negative emotion, emotions that we really don't necessarily want to maintain, emotions such as fear, anxiety, pain, hurt, sadness, depression. Those are the feelings we don't necessarily want to continue to live with, but sometimes they feel like they can just be overwhelming. They can overwhelm us and take us over. So when we go through life, whether it be a short time period or an extended time period, where we just find ourselves stuck in negative emotions, feeling negative, feeling down, feeling depressed, feeling sad, feeling anxious, feeling angry, how do we deal with those negative emotions? How do we make sure that they don't start to take over us, that we don't lose control over ourselves and fall prey to the emotions, the negative emotions that we really don't want to stay with? When we return, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel will be posing this question to the rabbi. How do we understand the source of our negative emotions, and how do we overcome those negative emotions so that they don't overcome us? Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel, when we return.
Don't you just love news about scandals, failures, and corruption? Me neither. I'm Heather Dean. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com for Conversations with Heroes. It's a fresh alternative to late-breaking news that gets you down. We'll meet today's unsung heroes who are impacting our lives for the better. From the Holy Land and your corner of the world, join me for Conversations with Heroes on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Hello and welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel here with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, today I want to ask you about how do we understand and deal with our negative emotions. I mean, this is something we all have, we all experience, sometimes stronger than others. The reason I started thinking about this specifically now is I had a conversation with a friend of mine this week who's going through a rather difficult time in her marriage. And she said something that really struck me. She said she knows that all the negative feelings she's having, the emotions she's having, isn't helping her marriage. All the hurt, the pain she's experiencing, it's only creating more problems. And yet it's just hard to stop. She just can't stop all these negative feelings that she's experiencing, even though she knows it's not helping the situation. And I realize everybody throughout their lives, me included, we have times where we have negative emotions that really sometimes feel like they're stronger than us. It can be anxiety, depression. There's so many different kinds of experiences we can have. Hurt. It can be hard to forgive someone that we feel like we've been hurt by, even though we know in our heads that it would really be much better if we could overcome these negative emotions. It's hard sometimes to let go. So it made me start to think of what is the spiritual root? What are the spiritual roots of negative emotions? And how can we, so once we understand that, use that to help us overcome and not let our negative emotions overcome us, but that we can really maintain a control and sense over them?
Okay, wonderful. Yeah, it's something that's so common and so essential to cope with. Let's first start off with the structure of where emotions come from. How does the psyche of the human being work according to Torah tradition, which is this particular aspect is referred to as Kabbalah and Chassidut. Basically, the secrets of Judaism reveal that there's three facets to the human being. First is the intellectual, which is referred to as Chachma Bina Dat, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Then the second tier is Chesed Gvur Tiferet, which correlates to emotions. And then the third is called Netzach Hod Yesod, which correlates to reflexes. And basically the way it works is this. My intellectual, my thinking generates my emotions, and my emotions trigger my reflexes. So let's start at the top over here. To get a handle on your emotions, you really have to get a handle on your thinking. There's some kind of thinking going on, which is generating these emotions. A person is saying something in their head. They're making a judgment. And the first thing they need to do is challenge that judgment to see if it's even true. Because very often, a lot of this is just in our heads, and it's just an interpretation. So let's say, I set up to meet with my wife at 8 o'clock at some restaurant. And she's not there. So now, the only thing I know is the event. The event is she's not there. The rest is interpretation. So now, what do I say in my head when she's not there at 8 o'clock? If I say, I can't believe she always does this. She doesn't respect my time. This is so inconsiderate. Then I start getting angry, right? But the anger came out of that comment. If I say, oh my gosh, she's always on time. How could she not be here? God forbid something terrible has happened. She must have been hit by a car. And I feel scared and worried, right? Mm-hmm. Or I say, you know what? She's always got a great reason. And I know that she's considerate and loving. And so I'll just wait. And we'll see. And I feel calm. But it's all about what you're saying in your head. And the point is to isolate the thought that is causing you the depression or the sadness or the anger or the stress. To isolate that thought, put it on a piece of paper, and then question it. Really question, do I know for sure this is true? Why am I so sure this is true? And that's the problem. The problem is it starts with your thinking. It doesn't start with how do I handle my emotion. It's how do I identify what is it that I'm saying in my head? What judgment am I living with? In this case, with your friend and her husband, she has a judgment of her husband. And the first thing she needs to do is identify clearly what is that judgment that she has about her husband, and then to really question it. You know, in a real thorough way, to see if that judgment is true. It might not even be true, you know?
That's true. Going back to your first example, because the idea that obviously we're explaining it is very powerful, that the same situation, the way we think about it brings about a different emotion. And you're talking about different negative emotions between anger, worry, concern. It all depends on how we interpret the event. But especially with that first example where the person is angry because this is not the first time the spouse has been late. This is something that's a regular occurrence, et cetera, et cetera. When things like that, the negative emotions are a result of a certain reality that does keep repeating itself, that's frustrating. I think that's oftentimes where we get stuck even more than sometimes, as you're saying, we can take a step back and say, am I really understanding the situation correctly? Look, I jumped to a conclusion and there was no need for me to be worried or for me to be angry at this person. But sometimes I think we get stuck in our negative emotions the most when there is almost this basis in reality of, so to speak, a problem or an inconsideration.
Right. So the first thing is, though, is to really challenge whether it is based in reality. Because my mind says, he's always late. Well, wait a second. Is that true? Is he always late? He's never come on time, right? So once you realize that, no, actually, I can remember 2-3 times that he was not late. So I say, okay, well, he's not always late, you know? And then the second thing is, well, rather than get angry, start to communicate and say, you know, I'm struggling, and that, you know, that there has been a number of times that you've been late. And how do we look at that? Can you help me with this? Because I'm getting frustrated with it. I don't want to, because I know you're a good husband. And I know you really care. But this is something that I'm struggling with. But very often people don't communicate. They just get angry. And then they eat it. And they implode until they explode. So first you have to really get in touch with how true is it that he's always late. You might find that he's not always late. And maybe he is always late, and maybe you'll just never change that, and you should just let go of that, you know, which is another thing that people don't understand. You cannot change another person. You can only change yourself. You can communicate to another person, and perhaps they will change themselves after you communicated, but you won't change them. And so sometimes people just have to accept the reality. Yes, it's true, he's always late, and so I should stop expecting him to be on time, and I should just add another 15 minutes to whenever he's going to be here, and I should change, because he's not going to change. And very often, people just keep banging their heads against a reality that's just not going to change. And so is it worth getting so angry because he's late? Why don't you just expect him to be late, and then he'll be on time, and you'll be surprised when he comes earlier than you thought.
You know, what you're saying is so important, because I think a lot of times with negative emotions, when we're involved with other people, let's say because of a marriage partner or someone at work, things like that, we'll often blame the other person for our negative emotions. But what you're saying is, because, you know, he's always late and that causes me to get angry. But if we're blaming someone else for our negative emotions, we don't have the power to change the way we feel. If we can take responsibility for the fact that the way I'm thinking about this situation is creating this feeling, and if I can change the way I think about the situation, I may feel differently, then we're much more empowered. But then we have to do something about it instead of putting it on someone else.
And clearly he's not making her angry. It's her thought about him that's making her angry. If she changed her thought, she won't be angry. So it's really the thought that's making her angry, not her husband. She has two ways to go. One is to really explore whether it's really true that he's always late. And let's say it really is true that he's always late, then get real. That's who he is, you know, and just accept that. And why get angry over it? Just accept it, that that's what he does. It's not, don't take it personal. It's just his way, you know. But a lot of people just don't. It's all about get real. So either get real because you're perceiving it wrong, or get real, which is you're perceiving it right. And don't try and change it, because it's not going to change. Just learn to accept it.
And I can see why, to an extent, looking at it this way might be hard for a lot of us, because then instead of being able to blame someone else for our feelings, we have to take responsibility for them. And I think it's a lot easier sometimes to put the blame on other people's behaviors or lack of consideration than to take the responsibility for ourselves, because then that means I'm the one who has to work on changing this.
Right. Well, this is actually a principle brought down in the Talmud that says, Kol posel b'mumo posel, which the principle is that which you critique in others is in yourself. It takes one to know one. What we don't like in other people, we have inside ourselves in some way, maybe not as much, but the reason why it bothers us, because it awakens within us something we know about ourselves.
And we, of course, don't necessarily want to look into the mirror to see ourselves, especially when it's not necessarily in the most positive of lights. When we're frustrated and seeing something negative in someone else, that's anything we don't want to see in ourselves. But if we really are going to be honest with ourselves, and if we want to be able to work on being happier and more balanced in our emotions, I think what you're saying is so powerful, that it's a mirror and reflection for ourselves to look within us, for us to work on what we need to work on inside of us.
I think it's really important to recognize that as part of human nature is that we like to put responsibility on other people. I mean, you think about the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. As soon as Adam made a mistake, what did he do when God asked him, "Adam, where are you?" He blamed his wife, Chava. And as soon as God approached Chava about what went on, she blamed the snake. So I think it is really important for us to recognize that as human beings, we have a tendency towards putting blame on other people. Now, that's not saying that people don't do real things that are hurtful and inconsiderate, etc., etc. That's their responsibility. But at the same time, if we always blame other people instead of taking the responsibility that we can of, how do I need to think about this situation differently? Maybe I need to change the situation. What do I need to do in this situation? Then we're always going to feel helpless. And that's when we start to feel negative emotions even stronger, as opposed to empowered, when we can recognize, if I think about this differently, if I do something differently, I take responsibility for what I can possibly change the situation. When we return, Soul Talk, read by David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Welcome to my country, where beauty, fresh air, expanses of barren land, and danger await you in the wild, wild West Bank. Wait! We're talking about Judea and Samaria, the biblical homeland of the Jewish people. Hi, I'm David Ha'ivri, a Hebrew in the heartland, and I'll be broadcasting to you every Wednesday from the mountains of Israel. Want to know what it's like to live in Israel's Wild West? Tune into my show, and I will show you how we live and what it's like to be a Hebrew in the heartland.
Hello, and welcome back to Soul Talk. I'm Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. I've been asking Rabbi Aaron how we can get a better understanding of negative emotions, especially when sometimes they can overcome us. And just as I think it's so foundational but so important what you've been explaining, Rabbi, is the way we think about things has a very strong effect on how we feel. It is the precursor to the feelings that we have. If we think about a situation differently, our feelings can change. The hard thing, though, that happens sometimes is that when we become, I guess what I use the term flooded, we can sometimes become flooded by negative emotion, and then it's hard to think clearly. And for anyone who's ever experienced this themselves, or when you speak to someone who is just so overwhelmed by negative emotions, the thinking process sort of gets clouded. So then, as much as it's caused by negative thinking, creates negative emotion, but it can also be hard to think through the negative emotion to change, make a change in path, because the emotion almost seems to take control over our thought process.
Right. Well, there's a couple of things that one could try and do. First of all, they can distract themselves. You know, like I'm starting to obsess over a thought that I might not even be so conscious that I'm actually obsessing over, and it's creating all this negative emotion. And so I should just go get myself distracted. You know what I mean? I go watch something or go play some game. You know, you can't stop thinking a negative thought. You can only start thinking a positive thought. But you can't stop thinking a thought, and then you're blank. There's no such thing as a blank head, right? So if a person can't identify the negative thinking that is generating the negative feelings, then what they need to do is go preoccupy themselves with something positive and start thinking about something else, and they'll feel much better, right? And at least it breaks that pattern, breaks that momentum. You have to kind of break your state and just get distracted so that you're not there. And then you might go to a therapist or somebody and talk out what you're thinking, but you got to get in touch with what is the thought that is generating this feeling. And then you got to look at that thought and again try and figure out, is this true? Is this really for sure true, what I'm thinking? And is it, if it is true, then if it's not going to change, then either leave it or love it, you know? But to sit around and continue to just get angry about it doesn't help anybody. You know, that's why forgiving somebody is so important, because there's a saying that says that not forgiving someone is like a person drinking poison and hoping the guy they hate dies.
Wow.
You drink the poison, right? Your anger towards this person is hurting you. They might not even know you're angry. you might see this person on the street and see, oh my gosh, I've been furious at this person, and this person smiles at me and doesn't even know I'm angry at them. And I've created this world. People don't understand. They're creating a world made of thought, negative thoughts, thoughts that they never really challenged, they never really questioned, or thoughts that they never accepted. If it's absolutely true that he's never on time, then that's it. That's what you got. That's who it is. Hmm. You know, my wife pointed out in marriage counseling, she took a course in marriage counseling, but she said that one of the things that they found were the things that you really loved about your husband, when you first met him, end up being a lot of the things that you don't like about him. In other words, you meet somebody and you really like the fact that they're spontaneous. And then later on, you don't like the fact that they're not very organized. Well, hey, get it. It comes hand in hand. They're spontaneous. They're flowing. So they're not such organized people. So what basically happens is people have to stand that this flip side of a lot of things. Yes, it could be that he's never on time. But on the other hand, he's not so stingy with his time. And he hangs with you and talks to you even when he's going to be late for something else. And therefore, maybe he's not on time for you, but he's also not on time for other people because he gets immersed and cares about you. So what's the positive thing about the fact that he's not on time? Where does his not on timeness manifest itself in positive ways?
Now, before you talked about creating a world made of thought, and to me, all of a sudden, it hit me strong that it is so true that we do create our internal world is developed and created by the thoughts that we have. And I'm almost trying, thought is sort of theoretical, even though it has very concrete results in our lives. But in my mind, I'm thinking just like in a physical way, material way, we think, what kind of world do I want to live in? Would I want to live with junk and garbage and, putrid smells building up around me? No one would want to live that way. I'd imagine a healthy person wouldn't want to. But so too, that's if we give the equivalent of that to our thoughts, garbage and just, awful smells, et cetera, and we allow that to stay within us, we're creating this putrid world, this world of that we wouldn't want to live in. And we have the power to create the world in which we live. Our whole internal world is really up to us.
Right. And it's so crazy when you think that it's all made of thought. All my depression and all my anger and all my suffering and all my anxiety is made of thought. It's scary when you think of it. I think I once shared with you, I was at the zoo with my son and we were admiring and enjoying the monkeys. And a friend of mine walked by and said, did you notice that these monkeys are not in a cage? And in the biblical zoo here in Israel, the monkeys are not in a cage. They're in an enclosed area, but there's just a fence. And certainly a monkey could get over this fence. The fence comes up to my chest. And so I said, you're right. He says, why don't those monkeys leave this area? I said, I don't know. You're right. He says, surely they could get over this fence. I said, you're right. Why doesn't the monkeys leave the area? He says, because look down there. There's a moat of water, and monkeys are afraid of water. In other words, what's imprisoning them is their fears. Mm. It's not. They wouldn't even drown in the water. They're just afraid of water. So he said, imagine that. It's our fears that are imprisoning us.
Hmm. So powerful. I'm also thinking as we're talking here that I think a lot of times we just want to wish our negative emotions away, wish our fears away, wish our anxieties away, wish our negative emotions away. But really what it comes down to is it does take work. It takes active, proactive work, a real awareness of what's going on in our internal world. And we have to actively work because you're saying there's always a thought in our mind. So if there's a negative thought that's creating anxiety, if I don't consciously prepare myself for when that happens, how am I going to replace that thought with something positive? What am I going to think of instead that's going to change my thinking instead of having to feeding this anxiety with the negative worrisome thought, I can start changing my thought process to something but it takes work. And we have to recognize we have to be willing to do the work in order to see the results.
Yeah, it goes back to where there's a negative feeling, there's a negative thought, and there's another good thought because you haven't not questioned that thought. You have not submitted to real interrogation. Is this thought true? And if it is absolutely true, then just accept reality because you're not going to change reality.
I know with myself, there's so many times I may start feeling a certain, let's say, anxiety, and I'm not even necessarily sure where is this coming from. First, you have to be aware you're even feeling it. Sometimes, unfortunately, the feelings and the emotions, for example, anger, can be so, can come so, feel like they're coming so quickly, like I didn't even see this coming. But usually there's precursors if we have a, more of an internal awareness of what's going on inside. And we really have to sometimes stop and think back of what happened. And I know with myself, when sometimes I'll have that feeling, it will be in the evening, I'll be standing in the kitchen, I'll be feeling anxious, and I'm thinking, why am I feeling this way? And I really have to almost pause and think back, what happened today? Who did I talk to? What was I reading? And it might have been something that happened hours before. It might have even been something I was reading in the news, and it's just been mulling over it. And I never necessarily made the connection. Well, you read something about something terrible that happened. Now you're feeling anxious. Don't you see there's a connection there? And sometimes just taking that time to have more of that self-awareness of the chain of events that can lead to different feelings and emotions can then help, at least for me, help me retrace and rework through those emotions once I understand where they're coming from.
Yeah. We have to be thoughtful of our thoughts, and we've become enslaved to our thinking, and we don't even know we're thinking these thoughts.
That's true.
And we have to just stop and say, what is the thought that's going through my head that is generating these feelings? What is that thought?
I mean, part of, I think, the challenge today is that we have so many distractions that we're not even used to just sitting with our own thoughts to be aware of them. And therefore, those thoughts are all going on and we don't even necessarily realize they're happening.
Yeah, the Piaseczna Rebbe, he points out a very interesting thing. He says, if you would just kind of sit and meditate and watch your mind, watch the thoughts, you'll see that hundreds of thoughts, you know, just pass through your mind. You know, and there's all this association. You think of this, which thinks of that, which thinks of this, and then suddenly you're thinking about something. You're going, how did I get to this thought? You know, there's this like wild free association that just leads you to thought, to another thought, to another thought, to another thought. He says, what's the difference between a normal person and a healthy person? I'm sorry, a normal person and a not normal person. Is a normal person can watch those thoughts and just let them go by. Kind of just like watching a leaf as it flows along a river and just let it flow by. He says, but unhealthy people, they grab onto the thought and they go with the thought. And so what you have to sometimes do is just look at that thought and let it go. You know, but very often if you don't look at the thought, then you get trapped and fixated on it. But if you stop and just look at it, you know, and question how real, how true is, and how much worth it is for me to think about this thought. What's the point of thinking about a thought that's just making me stressed out? And so just let it go. Just let it go. And find another thought and think about something positive. In fact, it's a good thing to have in your phone, you know, a list of positive experiences in your life. You know, kind of like people have a photo album. So you should have an album with memories of positive moments in your life and decide to choose, I'm going to get into that positive moment.
So again, that's being preemptive so that instead of just letting your thoughts take over you, it really does, again, as I said, take work. And the more we can be proactive and preemptive for when some of these negative thoughts can come to us, the more we'll be able to be successful at putting them aside and saying, you know what, I don't want to go there. That's not the road I want to take. I'd rather be in this place. But again, you have to prepare for it and work at it and catch it before it takes over you. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio. Please consider supporting our advertisers who help keep us on the air so you can listen for free. Thank you.
I used to get up all the time at night to go to the bathroom and have to take numerous breaks at work as well. But not anymore. I found what some people claim is a miracle cure from Israel. It's made from the cactus flower called Opuntuma. It's an all-natural and herbal remedy that helps with urinary problems, and it's really helped me. No more embarrassing trips to the bathroom. Get it at priso.com. That's P-R-I-S-S-O.com.
Soul Talk. Here talking with Rabbi David Aaron about understanding and overcoming our negative emotions, which all stem from thinking. We have to recognize that we have a thought that precedes the emotions, the way we feel, and we have to become more in touch and in tune with the thoughts that we have that bring those negative emotions on. Now, I have a question. This may sound strange, but as much as we don't like negative emotions, is there any positive side to them? Meaning, should we really always be trying to avoid them? Or is there a time where sometimes our negative emotions actually can be good for us if it's in the right balance and the right way?
Well, if you go back to the thought that generates the feeling and you see that this thought is a true thought, then it's generating a feeling because it's indicating something you need to change, something you need to take care of. You know, it's like having your car and then you've got that little light that tells you your oil needs to be changed. So you say, no, I don't like that flickering light on my dashboard. I'm going to, you know, disconnect it. Well, that's ridiculous. The whole point is that it's telling you something's wrong. So, you know, so if you're having a negative feeling and you go back to the root of it, which is the thought, and you discover that, yes, this is a genuine thought and I'm having a negative feeling because I need to do something. And that negative feeling is telling me something's wrong and I got to go fix something. You know, years ago, my dentist tapped on a tooth of mine. He said, does this hurt? I said, no. He said, did it ever hurt? I said, yeah, a couple of months ago. But you know what? I just disregarded it, and thank God the pain went away. He says, you know why? Because it's dead. You need root canal. I said, what do you mean it's dead? I need root canal. He said, when it was hurting, that was a sign that it was still alive. But when it stops hurting, that's a bad sign. Mm-hmm. So if something's hurting inside, it could be an indicator that something needs to – I mean, it's always an indicator something needs to change. Either what needs to change is your thinking – and actually, it's always rooted in thinking, but it's telling you something's wrong. Something needs to be fixed. And it could be something's wrong with what you're thinking, or something's wrong with the reality in front of you, and there's something that you can actually do about it. Or there's something wrong with reality, and you need to just accept it and make peace with it.
And especially when you talk about the physical world, and I think we all understand this, that pain, as much as this is a perfect example that you gave, as much as there's a part of us that doesn't want to feel pain, on the other hand, it's actually good for us to feel pain because it's a sign that there's something we need to take care of, we need to fix, we need to look into, because if we just ignore it, we'll be in much bigger trouble than if we take care of it. And sometimes I know with myself, I really don't like going to doctors, but there's times where as much as I wish I didn't have to have that wake up call with something hurting enough to have to go, I realize if it didn't hurt enough, I'd probably just try to ignore it and not take care of it. But I'd imagine, are the emotions and the thoughts, is that almost more of a spiritual side of us? And sometimes it's like a sign to us if we're having these negative emotions that there's something more on the spiritual side we also need to be fixing. And the only reason I wonder that is because emotions and thoughts are, they're concrete, but they're not like a physical body. They have real manifestation, but it's not something you can put your finger on. It's something we're all aware of. We all experience. We even experience the effects of negative emotion, even though it's not something you can put your finger on. It's nothing you can see, which makes me think more of the spiritual side of things, which again, there's a reality to it, but it's not something you can put your finger on or see.
Right. Well, you know, one of the ideas in Torah is that God speaks to us through us, and it's through sometimes the thoughts that he drops into our heads, and that people think prophecy is some guy in the sky talking to us, but not that this is prophecy, but this is one form of God communicating to us, which he communicates to us through our intelligence. And so if my intelligence is telling me there's something wrong here and therefore I'm feeling anxious, then I got to go and figure out what's wrong. You know, something in my reality could be changed if I changed it, right? Or something in my reality can't be changed and I need to learn to accept it and appreciate it or see the positive, whatever it is. But one of the ways that God speaks to us is through our thinking. Wow. Again, you can't always rely that everything, you know, every thought comes from God, for sure not. But sometimes a thought is coming from God, and God is saying something to you. You know, like let's say suddenly you get this thought, I should call my friend. Like, why? All of a sudden, out of nowhere, you just get this thought. That's God talking to you. If you get a thought that encourages you to do a positive act, that's God speaking to you. If you get a thought that encourages you to do a negative act, that's definitely not God speaking to you. But the voice of positivity, the voice of proactive kindness, that's always the voice of God, you know. And so, you know, so opening myself up to thoughts when they're positive thoughts, but when they're negative thoughts and the destructive thoughts, then that's something that I have to battle. And the way I battle it is I got to write it down. I got to look at it. I got to question and challenge it. Is it really true? And if it is true, then perhaps that is the reality and I have to stop complaining and just start accepting.
Now, you've been speaking a lot about how our thoughts really are the precursor to the way we feel. So if we're feeling a negative emotion, we should think about what was I thinking? How am I thinking about the situation? Where do you see behavior fitting in as far as our actions and how that can affect the emotions?
Well, that's how it works. You know, if I'm in my home and it's late at night and I hear a banging at my window and my head says someone's breaking into my house, I, at that point, start to worry. At that point, physically, my heart starts to beat faster. I literally has a reflexive response. And I might, you know, I might take a broom and be ready to hit something. And then I call my friend and he says, well, it's windy outside. And I think there's a tree outside your window, if I recall correctly. Maybe it's just a branch. And he'll go, oh, my gosh, he's right. And then I'm no longer angry, no longer anxious, no longer worried. And my heartbeat goes back and I stop my cold sweat. So the thoughts are creating emotions and literally reflexive reactions. We break out into a cold sweat. We start feeling heat on our face. Our heart starts to speed up. We feel tension in our shoulders. All this is coming from our thoughts.
Can we do things physically to reverse the process?
Well, we can. First of all, we could, through physical things, we could break our state of thought. You know, you can get on your treadmill and put on some really great music, and that could maybe break that train of thought, you know. But eventually, you've got to replace the negative thought with a positive thought. But you can't just say, I'm going to stop thinking. You can't stop thinking. You can either think negatively or think positively, but you can't stop thinking. And the more you say to yourself, I got to stop thinking that, you'll think more about it. That's why you can't just stop thinking something. You can only start thinking something else.
Replace it with the positive thought. And as far as action, I'm just trying to think maybe an example of, and I've seen this with my kids. They did this in my kids' school recently. There were some issues with kids having a lot of negative interactions with each other. And the teacher decided to pair the kids up and have them do projects together, do something nice for each other. I think the idea behind that is you may feel a certain way, but if you do something nice for somebody else, you go out of your way for them, you're more likely to then start changing the way you feel about them. So maybe that
It's true. You know, we do have a principle that the thoughts can go after the actions, which is, you know, fake it until you not make it, but awake it, which is deep inside you want to love. Deep inside you want peace. Deep inside we want positive. That's for sure. But sometimes just act nicely to people. You know, you feel like screaming, don't scream, right? Speak calmly. And that could direct your thoughts, yeah.
When you just said now you feel like doing something, but you don't. I know something that helps me a lot. I mean, thank God, I think naturally I'm a pretty calm and balanced person. But a while ago, everyone has their moments and stresses and you're exhausted and you're stressed out and this and that. And I sort of in my mind decided that I want to be a pleasant person to live with. And it was something almost like a mission I created for myself. And even though many times it's relatively easy, there's always those times where it can be a little bit more challenging because you're tired, you're stressed, different parts of you can want to come out. And I found that because I've made this a mission for myself, and it's sort of clear in front of me that even those times where it can be trying, but because I have this sort of clear mission statement in front of me, I find I'm very successful most of the time in keeping to that mission statement. And so something like that too, if I want to be a person who feels good about other people, that doesn't hold on to hurt and to pain. Sometimes I think we can rewrite our script, because we have a script that goes on in our head, if we create, what do I want? Who do I want to be? And make it clear in front of us, then it's like we're re-scripting or creating a script for what we want to see, even if we're not necessarily feeling it.
Right. But it's important to create a case why you want to do that, because where there's a why, there is a way. Mm. And so a person will say, you know, I want to be this. Well, why do you want to be this? And the more whys you can come up with, the more compelling you create a case that you really want this, because you got a good reason to want this. But so much of our lives is mind management. And, you know, I called it a gold mind. You know, in our mind is a gold mind. Mm. And it all starts with the mind.
Hmm. That's very powerful. Well, you've really given us a lot of tips here today that, and again, I think it's one thing to hear everything that you're saying, but to really integrate it, I think it's important we all recognize it does take work and being proactive, because we have to really, instead of turning out to other people who are frustrating us or life situations that are creating anxiety and stresses, those are all the things that are out of our control. And if we're going to always focus on what's not in our control, we're going to be overwhelmed by negative emotion. But when we recognize and start focusing on the aspects of life that we do have control over, what we can do, which is so much, because as you said, we create world, our own internal world, which has an effect on the external world that we live in with our thoughts. And if we focus on what we do have control over, the way we think, our actions, that will have an effect on our emotions and will recreate the whole world that we live in around us. I want to thank you all for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Lira Mandel. I want to remind you all that Rabbi David Aaron has many more thoughts, much more wisdom we can learn from him, RabbiDavidAaron.com, Rabbi Aaron on Facebook, and many books. I hope you'll join us next week. Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Lira Mandel.
G'day dear listeners, join Jason and Jono on our new program entitled Israel on My Mind, a show where we highlight humorous and happy news stories relating to the people and state of Israel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Israel time, exclusively here on Israel News Talk Radio.
You can join us anytime by listening on demand to Israel News Talk Radio and join in the conversation on our Facebook page. Just search for Israel on My Mind. If you have any questions or comments, then feel free to leave them in the comment section below and maybe you'll be featured on the show.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.